Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. So many things to sing about this week. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You just coined the Guth and Hupke on Politics theme song, I think.
I know, right.
Clever.
I didn't even have my vocal warm-up exercises.
Yes.
I could have done so much better. Speaking of vocal warm-ups, my neighbors, who I tweet about often, I tweet about, like, the downstairs neighbors just hate me because I'm doing voiceover in my house a lot lately, and that was the one where I tweeted, is that bitch doing fucking infomercials up there? But, I mean, to be fair, I did, like, interrupt sexy time.
You should have started doing sort of a sexy time infomercial.
That's exactly what somebody else tweeted. And he was like, you should just be like, neighbor's hey, sex life got you down?
Yeah, right.
Order the sexy mute.
Yes.
It was great. That's courtesy Scott Kleinberg there, former colleague. Very funny. No, but I mean, yeah, to be fair, I was like, order now for only $19.99. And I mean, I was saying that and doing like super voiceover voice and doing, I had a legal disclaimer on the bottom of one.
Uh-huh.
Like, results not typical, where you go
right.
super fast.
Yeah.
So, like, to be fair, no, that's probably not sexy time music at all. Amy Guth's voice reading a legal disclaimer, not baby making music at all whatsoever.
Could be better than the dude having to think about baseball or whatever to hang in there.
But. Right. I'm here to help
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. Think about legal disclaimers. Think about legal disclaimers. Think about legal disclaimers.
Guth's voice doing legal disclaimer. Guth's voice doing legal disclaimer. Don't. Oh, right.
Womp, womp.
No, but the other ones across the hall that fight a lot and we share a wall that I hear them, they have the dumbest fights. And I'm always tweeting about their dumb fights. And just this morning, I didn't even get a chance to tweet it because I was charging my phone at that time, and I was like, I'll tweet it later, and I'm just now remembering. They were arguing over what coloratura soprano means.
I don't even know what that, like, I don't even know that word. None of those words.
It is like a classification of a voice.
Okay.
Right? Like there's like, soprano, mezzo soprano,
right,
coloratura
yeah.
soprano, whatever. Okay? So they were fighting over that, and in two sentences that I couldn't totally make out, they were then fighting about whether or not you should run the dishwasher in a lightning storm.
Okay.
I was like, these people are so high, I don't
such,
even know what to
yeah,
do right
it's
now.
It's a cross between like elitism and utter mundanity.
I know. They'll fight about super dumb shit. Like, I mean, her point was, I guess it was on TV, because the TV was on. I could hear their TV on. And somewhere it came up like, That's a way to refer to the woman being a woman of color, and that's where they were trying to say, like, no, that's a classification of the soprano voice, not of the singer singing it. Anyway, we're off to a weird start, but I'm just letting you know that's
A high level discussion.
That's
right?
That's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at. And they've got this weird pineapple air freshener and everything smells like a resort in the common area. But I'll take that over like the foot smell normally coming from their doors.
There you go. Yeah.
So anyway, we're really just stalling because the world is on fire.
Yeah,
this
pretty
week,
much.
So what's happening.
Literally on fire. Like there was just something else about how like Hawaii is almost about to explode. And
okay.
It's really horrifying.
Let's go to Hawaii for 1 second
sure.
Because I
Guth and Hupke on geothermal issues.
My favorite. We could get my brother. That's his thing.
You oh, could yeah, just that's right. Seriously.
Turn
yeah.
the floor over to him. Too bad he hates speaking.
Yeah,
that'd be
well,
a thing. I mean, my brother's basically like Boomhauer from King of the Hill.
Yes.
And he will say as little as possible. And he just kind of is like, I just want to not talk to humans and go back to my extremely intelligent academic things that I do. Because he's the smart one of the duo. No, but like people, and I realize it's quite serious. And if I lived in Hawaii and lava were creeping to
oh,
my
yeah.
door, I would be
terrifying. Yeah.
Quite upset about it. But people, even people in Hawaii have done funny things with
yeah.
some completely stupid headlines.
Sort of gallows
like,
humor, yeah.
Like people, there was one about things people were trying to do to stop the lava.
Yeah.
And there, like the internet consensus was like, because it's lava.
Right. Shoot
no,
it.
Yeah, right? Like shoot. Someone like put boards and plywood as if that was, and it was like, I mean, it was really shocking. It just ate right through the boards. Well, because I don't know if you know this, but wood is fucking flammable.
And lava is hot.
Is made out of fire.
Yes, it is magma.
So I was just like, oh my God. I and that's the thing. Like I was tweeting this morning about how sometimes you just look at Twitter and you go, like I first thing, wake up and I look at Twitter just like, what bullshit happened overnight?
Yeah.
And so many times lately, I'll just look for a couple minutes and scroll and then I'm like,
back like, to bed.
Oh God. Yeah. Like what's the point of even getting up? Yeah. Everything's on fire and it's awful. The point is that there's a lot to do and we must get up and do it.
True.
Gosh
darn it.
We're going to work our way to the Middle East.
Okay.
We'll get there. I don't want to start there. I would like to start with Don Jr.
Donnie, the good kid. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He is.
Who's a good boy?
You know what, Donnie?
Who's a good boy?
He's a good boy. You know, oh my God.
No.
So the Senate Judiciary Committee dumps out 2,000 some odd pages of Don Jr.'s testimony, along with all kinds of other things, including my personal favorite for an administration of people who have said no collusion about 8 million times,
right,
especially Trump himself. There's an email from somebody who was at the Trump Tower meeting with Don Jr. And remember, after that, Don Jr. dumped a bunch of emails, mm-hmm, that were rather incriminating, if anything. And person responded to those emails talking to another person by saying, why did Don Jr. just admit to collusion? I'm like, well, okay.
Well,
there
you go. All right. Yeah.
It's just, and you know, the thing that people forget, first of all, the fact that the levels of bullshit that we've gone through on this whole Trump Tower meeting that's kind of central, really, mm-hmm, to a lot of the obstruction and collusion, not obstruction, but to the collusion case that Mueller's looking into. And you know, they denied that there was anything going on there. Then they denied that Trump had anything to do with the statement they released afterwards, saying that they were just talking about Russian adoptions. And it's just been layer upon layer upon layer. And everything that came out today completely debunks all of that, including some of Don Goodboy Jr.'s testimony, where he does say that his dad weighed in on the memo via Hope Hicks. And it's just, I mean, and you just, again, it's like you just wonder if anybody, does anybody care? I mean, because it's so blatant. It's so, like, the lies are so absolute and so constant that, you know, you wonder, okay, this is very damning. This is more damning than pretty much anything anybody ever had on Hillary or Obama. I mean, it is more, period. I mean, there isn't really any argument.
Well, but
that,
you know what? But here's the thing. Like, corruption isn't...
Right, and it doesn't matter, yeah.
...isn't a, like, a tug-of-war game.
Right, exactly.
Corruption's corruption. I don't give a shit who else is
right.
corrupt.
Let's just...
I got my issues with every politician
sure.
who is an elitist.
Right,
so.
Let's just default to both Hillary and Obama are guilty of everything, and they should go to jail. Fine. We'll say that just as a arguing point here. That doesn't make Don Jr. any less of a corrupt... lying
right
schmuck.
Because
I mean,
that rationale is that it's like grading on a curve
sure.
in a way of like
yeah.
yeah but he did it too. Well, it doesn't matter,
right.
Is it, did you break the law, did you do the wrong thing,
right.
That's really all I'm interested in, because otherwise it's like a race to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
of in moral terms
yeah.
and legal ones.
And it's striking too, because like the testimony is just, so there's a And, you know, there's been enough information come out now that people can actually put together a real accurate timeline of how things unfolded. And at this meeting, there was a 4-minute phone call in the middle of the meeting that Don Trump Jr. made to a blocked phone number. And he says in the testimony he doesn't remember who he called. They're like, was it your father? And he's like, I don't remember who I called. It's like, come on, man. I mean, you're meeting with a bunch of Russians.
Right. You don't remember the phone call you took?
Yeah, and you don't remember. I mean, give me a break. Plus, also, I think it was Lewandowski testified that Trump's personal residence there has mm-hmm. a blocked number. So, you know, we don't know for sure,
sure.
but good God. I mean, the argument basically is that Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner, you know, three of the highest ranking people in the presidential campaign, had this meeting with Russians promising dirt on Hillary Clinton while Donald Trump was in the building, and Donald Trump had no idea about it. Come on. I mean, come on. It's a ridiculous assertion, but we're supposed to believe it.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, I'm with you, but also to be fair, like, have you ever oh, I don't know, worked in a newsroom in which like one section didn't know what the other one was doing, and
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Theoretically, it is possible. Is all I'm going with that.
The phone call is what makes it dodge.
It's the phone
That's
call.
What really.
That's exactly right. What I was going to say. Yeah. But the phone call.
You take the phone call out, and I'm more apt to buy what you're saying. But right. The phone call.
The phone call makes it.
I don't know who I called.
Like you're in a meeting that you will probably remember mm-hmm. for most of your life. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that you wouldn't remember a detail on a significant day like that
right. Is yeah.
Not really.
No. So it's really. Crazy. And also, on top of that, the Senate came out and said that there was definitely, they agreed with the intelligence agency's findings that Russia did try to interfere in the election in favor of Donald Trump and opposed to Hillary Clinton. So, which is contrary to what the House GOP came up with. So it's just really, I don't know how long it's sustainable. I mean, I don't know how long before.
We've been saying that for a year.
Yeah,
though.
No, I know. I know, but.
And they keep finding new ways to.
I guess I'm curious about how, you know, we talk about his sort of devoted base, and then there's all the other people that voted for him. And I wonder how much this is peeling people, the people we don't see, the people that don't go to his rallies and that sort of thing. You know, how much it's peeling people like that off. Because honestly, it is really getting. To the point where, again, we don't know exactly what happened, but to look at this and not think it seems just really, really suspect, it is just, it's, you're in denial. I mean, this is not an ideological opinion. I mean, it's just a, come on, look at what happened here. And how do you say that this is not, that there isn't something really, really weird
right.
about all these damn Russians?
Like, you can't look at this. You cannot look at the facts that are available and say, without a doubt, everything here is on the up and up.
Right.
This is a completely buttoned up situation.
Sure,
cannot.
Yeah, and again, you know, they're so ham handed with everything because, truthfully, I would say there's an argument to be made that this meeting, if they had just kind of fessed up to it from the get-go and written it off as a mistake because Don Jr. is new to this, he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't know it was wrong.
Absolutely, it would have.
Yeah, I mean, they could have at least downplayed it. I mean, people on the left still would have.
But now,
now they've just, because they've lied and they've lied and they've lied. Also, another thing I saw several people on Twitter pointing out, too, is that take away all of the other specific details and the kind of weirdness and the phone call and this, that, and the other thing, but the whole family had been warned ahead of time that they could be targets of Russian influence campaigns. And then this happened, and none of them reported this meeting or the call for this meeting, you know, the emails, et cetera, that led up to this meeting. None of them reported it to the FBI, which they absolutely should have. You know, they should have been, hey, you know what, we're getting calls from Russians who are trying to do this, that, and the other thing, so blah, blah, blah. Never happened. So that in and of itself is bad. But hey, what do I know?
You're right. Let's go.
But hey,
let's leave.
We're kicking immigrants out, so yay. You know,
oh,
right?
Oh, God. We're, and we'll get to that because I got the kids thing. Anytime like kids are brought into this, it's very upsetting. You're like, children handle fear and trauma differently than adults.
Yep.
And even what's being proposed to, well, fuck it, we're in it. even what's proposed to put children in like housing,
right,
on military bases, okay, separating families, mm-hmm, when people are detained by ICE, mm-hmm, is so fucked up and so terrible,
right?
And would be so traumatic. I mean, that would. I have no doubt that would shape a child.
Oh, yeah.
For a lifetime. Like, that would be a scary thing to, like, suddenly be in this, like, military dorm, orphanage-y kind of setting. Like, that would be really scary to a kid. And kids are more resilient than I think sometimes adults give them credit for. But that would still be a formative experience, especially if you're quite little.
Well, and these are kids who already have most of
done
them
through
gone,
some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they've been through a lot and possibly a terribly perilous journey, or they're leaving violent situations.
Exactly.
And so,
to then do that is right. We're not talking about like taking a kid out of like a wealthy suburban home where everything's hunky dory. Like, this is a child who's probably already seen some bullshit.
Right.
And you're going to do this. And that's just like, that's.
You know, and I think what gets lost, and I part of me thinks we're not careful enough in our arguments about things. And so it gets... this will make sense in a second. Right. So take this. Now, if we're talking about people who are literally sneaking across the border, like who are legitimately breaking our immigration laws, right? People who are sneaking into this country illegally. I do not personally have a problem with our immigration laws being enforced. I get that. My biggest issue comes with people who are seeking asylum, which is a whole other kettle of fish, as well as people like, you know, the DACA, people under the DACA program, people under the who have come from countries where there were either man-made or natural disasters and have been here for like 10 years and now they're trying to boot them out. So I'm not opposed per se to saying, hey, you know what, you snuck into this country illegally, that you can't do that, we're sending you back. Because I do agree. I mean, if you're going to have immigration laws, yes, you need to enforce them. I agree with that. I don't agree with you came into this country illegally. We're going to split your family apart now while we adjudicate this, and hopefully we'll be able to find your kid for you before we kick you back out. That's ridiculous. I mean, if you
don't have to be like cruel and inhumane to enforce a law.
Right, exactly.
Even if it's like, I'm saying, it's not a law that I agree with as it is written.
Right.
However, it is currently the law, and you can enforce a law without being cruel about it.
Yeah.
You can, but you know, this is also the country that is shoots people for routine traffic stops.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Right. So in fact, maybe we can't. In fact, maybe we cannot make it violent and traumatic and treat people like subhumans.
Yeah, and it's enforcing
an alleged law.
Yeah, I mean, it's
or allegedly enforcing law,
right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, look, the idea of having borders, having points of entry, screening people who come in, you know, all that sort of stuff, I get that, right? I mean, I do think that. I mean, I don't think, you know, people say, you guys on the left just want open borders. No, I don't want open borders. That's not at all what I'm suggesting. But I do think that there are ample ways of dealing with the people who come in either through the right places and need to be processed, whether it's asylum seekers or what have you. And then people who are sneaking in and get caught, and then you have to do something with them. I get that, right? I mean, but you don't split them apart as a means of keeping other people from coming here. Because, frankly, there's a lot of people coming here who would probably still see that as a better situation than staying where they are and getting killed. So I don't know how much of a deterrent it is in the first place.
Or starving to death, or
right,
getting trafficked,
right,
or any
it's
number
just,
of reasons.
But what it is insanely cruel and unnecessary. And so if you don't have enough places to house the families, then come up with some bigger places to house the family. I mean, I just don't believe that we can't do this in a proper, humane way that doesn't show the rest of the world that we're assholes. I mean, because that's really what it looks like. I mean,
it's cruel. It's beyond asshole.
Yeah.
It's
cruel.
It's really
it's absolutely cruel. Like, and especially with the kids. I mean, the logic for all of this is based on nothing. I mean, there have been study after study after study that show that, you know, people that come in, immigrants that come into this country, contribute considerably. I forget what the figure was for total tax revenue from, but it's enormous. That they are actually commit less crimes than native-born Americans, and you know they're taking a lot of jobs, frankly, that regular natural citizens here don't want to take. We've seen that since Trump started doing this, where I believe it's the crab industry, like in like Maryland and a few other places, is really struggling right now because they can't get enough people. There was a story the other day, might have been the Washington Post, about this guy in Tennessee whose business is tanking because he can't get enough foreign workers to come because not enough regular Tennesseans want these jobs that he has to do, you know, like our agricultural jobs and stuff like that, and they won't do it. And he's had to, I think it was like a landscaping company. Huge landscaping company. He had all these like big $100,000 contracts and stuff that he had to cancel because he doesn't have the workers. So, yeah, all the arguments for shutting this all down just don't add up, and it's all based on fear mongering and lies, and it's really frustrating. But to then take it, it's frustrating on its face, but then to take it and turn it into this thing where, okay, well, we're building these big warehouses to put undocumented immigrant children who we split up from their families and then probably lose in the system somewhere. I mean, it, you know, it's just crazy.
Right. I mean, imagine that, right? Like, imagine you because you are a parent and I'm not, and my closest reference is plants and my deceased cat. So whatever, we're not the same. So imagine you have just arrived in a country, probably a rather harrowing journey, and mm-hmm. you, I'm sure, had a terrifying reason to bail. And you're in a country, you may or may not speak the language of that country, and you have your children with you, and they are taken away and put in another place. Even if you were assured they're going to be guarded by military, they'll be in an area with other children. Would any part of you feel okay about that?
No.
No, of course not.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Even if you're like, this is your baggage claim number for your child later. No. No part of you is going to feel good about that.
No, man. I mean, my kids go spend the night somewhere else, and I'm like, you know, I feel a little not totally at ease. So, I mean, you know, it's insane. And plus, these are people who are already, you know, you think you have stress in your life, you know, average American person.
Are you attacking me personally?
No, I mean, I mean, like, just any of us.
Sure.
You know, we think we have stress in our lives. Imagine fleeing the place where you have lived all your life with your child, cutting through the desert, you know, possibly having to trust, you know, dodgy characters to get you there or whatever. And, you know, coming into a country again where you most likely don't know the language, and then your kid, I mean, come on. I mean, it's immoral to do that. And again, that's not saying, open those borders up, let whoever wants to come in. It's different. And that's where I think we get hung up, because, maybe people that are so frustrated by this are not making that clear delineation, like, okay, we're not talking about open borders. We're talking about enforcing the immigration laws that we have in a reasonable and humane manner. And that doesn't seem like a big ask. And if you don't have the people to do it, then hire the people to do it, because I keep hearing people talk about wanting more jobs and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I mean, come on. Like, it just doesn't seem like we can't do this in a civilized manner.
Well, this is really about... At the end of the day, this is about male white supremacy.
Sure, totally.
You know, I mean, that's really what's powering this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when we look at numbers of crimes actually committed by people who were born in this country versus people who have come to this country, when we really start looking at that, the argument begins to fall apart. This is about not valuing, one thing, women's bodies, mm-hmm. because there's so much, like... So many women flee, like so many women are seeking this country as a point of safety for being trafficked, for being forced into sex work, like any number of things.
Sure.
Many women are brought here and then suddenly are here and have no, like, if you escape your captor, like trafficking is a big, humongous deal. Chicago in particular has a huge trafficking problem. Mm-hmm. And if you suddenly, like, what are you going to do? Like, if you, you know what I mean? Like, if you come here and you are trafficked, you are here, you might have a child as a result of sex trafficking. Like, right? That's not your fault.
Right.
That's not your fault at all.
Yeah.
And you're paying the price for it. Part of that is having no value over women's bodies. Like, mm-hmm. We don't have autonomy over our own bodies. We are, like, so often by that, By the narrative, by culture, like in so many ways, we are property and we are not valuable until we are attached to a man. We are thought of in reference to the man to whom we are attached, and mm-hmm. that is our value. We're so and so's wife. We're so and so's girlfriend. We're so and so's mother.
Yeah,
the end. And that's bullshit. But even more broadly, this is about white supremacy, white male supremacy. This is about, like, not wanting brown people in the country. This is about, like, I mean, maybe 3 days ago, I heard a guy on Michigan Avenue saying, but he just, like, walked by me. He was like, tourist, I'm guessing, guy, right, with a family, and they're, like, taking pictures of shit and whatever, and he's walking by, and I didn't really catch the context, but I just heard him say something like, and they weren't talking American. And I was like, what? 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 And I almost, like, stopped just because I wanted to eavesdrop, because, you know, I love a good eavesdrop.
Sure.
But I was like, I'm not gonna. I can't with it right now.
Can't even deal with you right now, mister.
And I was trying to go, let me give this other human being the benefit of the doubt of what he could have been talking about. Because immediately I'm saying, this person, like, was not speaking English, and that upset this white man.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't. I was like, maybe he was talking about someone spewing anti-American rhetoric, and that had him upset. I was like, that man does not know. I'm like, that's not what was happening.
That definitely did not happen.
There's, to sort of draw a parallel, like, we get bogged in the weeds, you know, we get bogged down in the weeds with these details of immigration when we're not talking about the real thing powering the problem. We're never going to get out of the debate. We're going to stay locked in the debate forever, and the powerful will just strong arm changes and prohibitions because they are in power, until we can dismantle the big thing that is powering it, and that is white male supremacy. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the parallel. There was a piece in The Guardian. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen me share it. It is a fascinating conversation with food activist Karen Washington. Mm-hmm. And the headline is, Food Apartheid, the Root of the Problem with America's Groceries. And it's really talking about, like, hey, we are getting a little too bogged down in some of the words we're using. We're focusing on the wrong things. We're not talking about the big issues. She was like, she was saying, I'm rejecting the word, the food desert, because that's saying I'm outside looking into a place with a lot of lack, when there's a lot of non-lack in plenty of places we're calling lack. We're calling, like, there's blight, there's whatever, you know, it's dismissing an area that in fact could have plenty of thriving parts to it. But let us really step back and say, in fact, there's a lot of problems with the food system, and many of them are quite racist and economic and capitalist and shitty in nature. And let's fix that, rather than just being like, I want everyone to have access to organic onions. I too want everybody to have access to organic onions, but I'm not going to start there. It's like bigger and more essential to start with, like, what are the big, who is in power making decisions that are affecting people disproportionately? And why is food impact, like, why is food accessible or inaccessible disproportionately? And I think that's the same kind of thing we're talking about here with immigration, with anything. We get bogged down in little, like, the minutiae of it, and we can't step back and say, oh, this is about power and money and whiteness and supremacy.
Yeah.
I mean, we could also just walk around saying that about everything, because at the end of the day, basically everything boils down to that.
It does seem to come be a big player in a lot of things. That's for
it
sure.
Does. It's true.
I agree with you. I think, and I mean, you don't have to look any further than the people that they're trying to remove, you know?
Right.
I mean, there is, you know, the people that are here, like I said before, it's called the TPS, the Temporary Protected Status, I think, which is given to people from places like Haiti, Nicaragua, where they were fleeing natural disasters, that sort of thing. And some of them have been here for like 20 years. They have nothing to go back to. And also the countries that they would go back to are by no means stable. It would be. And in fact, the countries have told us, yeah, don't send them back.
No,
it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
But that they're pushing forward. And why are they pushing forward? Because, and it's not, you know, it's not, nobody's saying that these, and it's a lot. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying, like, because these are, they're committing crimes right and left, or they're a drain on the system. No, I mean, these are people who have settled and they're working and they have families. And many of the families are, by the way, are American citizens. You know, the children are American citizens now and all this sort of stuff. And no, they just want to get rid of them.
Have you ever been, there's a lot out of New York and many out of Dulles, but have you ever been on a flight with people getting deported on it?
No. Huh?
It is quite an experience.
Oh, God.
And I would challenge anybody who feels very strongly in a very conservative way about immigration, like, you take that flight out of Dulles, you take an international flight with deportees on it, and then we will have this conversation.
Right.
Just, I want you to see human beings, like, weeping at the gate.
Yeah.
And then we will have this conversation. If you can still stomach putting an entire group of people in a they, in a non-human, faceless they, after that experience, then I will talk to you. Until then, I got nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's funny what a good game people talk until they're actually confronted with something.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's just, because it's a lot harder to look at the impact of the things that you're doing. I don't know if we want to segue to this right now, but
sure.
It was the very similar situation with the embassy move to Jerusalem and the split screen of Jared and Ivanka, who, first off, why the hell were they there as representatives of this country? But
Okay, the breakfast picture was the most infuriating.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It was like, we're having really nice fancy breakfast. My frittata is a little cold. Could you remake that?
And could you ask them to stop shooting people while we're doing this? It's so noisy.
The shooting is quite loud. It rattled the china. This is good china. While you're warming up my frittata, fix that. It was all bad.
Yeah, and then, and look, this is an issue, and I think I've said this before, too. This is an issue I have never had a particularly good understanding of the Israeli-Palestinian issue, or the whole confrontation. I mean, I know it on the periphery, sort of, but I don't understand it well enough that I've ever been able to felt like I could write about it with any kind of authority. And so even with this, I'm kind of like, maybe it's good with, to some degree, but then I don't think, obviously, that shooting 60 protesters, including some like younger people and stuff, can ever be deemed as a good thing, and injuring pushing like 2,000 people or something like that. But regardless of the rightness or wrongness or what have you, though, that split screen was stunning.
Yeah.
Because you had people carrying bodies away from billowing smoke clouds on one side, and then you had Ivanka with a big ass smile on her face saying woo, and unveiling a big sign that had her dad's name in larger font than Jerusalem. So
right.
I mean, I didn't know what to make of all that, but it was jarring.
I'm looking for a particular tweet that I it's been a hard week I would say this, like, Jewish Twitter got quiet in many ways. There was a few people who were very hawkish, who were like, you're not seeing both sides,
right,
which I don't agree with. I didn't say shit about it. The only thing I said was I hit like on a tweet, and I said, thank you for this tweet. I appreciate it. You said... and in far better a way, what I've kind of been wrestling with all day. And it was, I'm not going to get into the issues, and everyone's free to stand wherever they want. But I just feel like I continually need to remind people, and I need to like draw this as a diagram, that you can condemn what happened this week and not be an anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think people did a good job of that.
Yeah.
I would say this. There are... there are left-leaning rooms and very far-left rooms in which I don't always feel comfortable identifying as Jewish. I will never lie about it. I feel like I don't... technically, you should do anything to save a life. Like, that's even in the Torah, you need to do that. Like, if you need cover your ass to save your own or another life, you should do it. Mm. But I also feel like that's a story for another day, but I feel like on principle, that's a thing I'm never going to lie about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't always feel comfortable like going there.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think we here in this country do a good job of recognizing that you can condemn everything Israel stands for. You can even condemn Israel's right to exist without condemning the wide variety of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, we don't have a Vatican. We don't have a central belief system. In fact, belief is not a thing we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what my own father believes. Like, I don't know. That's just not a thing we do. We talk about practice.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about observance. We don't talk a lot about belief. That shit is personal.
Yeah.
So you might, but it's never been a thing that we will believe that. Like, I've never once in my life had any rabbinic person ever tell me something to believe.
Uh-huh.
Ever. And so... we don't do a good job of... so already, like, we are kind of a scapegoaty people. So I think it's super fucked up and terrible what happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realize, like, no matter what, I just don't feel like I can say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything I say is going to be suspect. anything I say is going to get just get the I'm going to get the shippied out of me either way.
Yeah.
It's if I say, unless I just say fuck everybody, like completely, unless I, you know, and there was some a little bit of kickback this week, kind of like, if you don't, how do I, God, there was a tweet that kind of said it so perfectly that was kind of like, let me find it. I got it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, never mind.
It is, this is from Lil Yenta, Lil_Yenta. PSA, if you're a Zionist Jew who says something like, I'm guessing you identify as secular, to anti-Zionist Jews just because we're not Zionists, you're a fucking asshole.
Okay.
Well, but that's a thing. Like,
yeah.
It's the assumptive part,
uh-huh,
that is being spoken to in that tweet that I think is really key and really important.
Yeah.
That because we don't have like prescriptive belief, there's a huge variety, there's an array of what you're going to get. And so, like, there was a lot of, I would say, and again, let me say this, and Lynn, let me put the caveat on it. Actually, let me do the caveat first. And the caveat is, I'm not comparing this to loss of life this week.
Yeah.
They're, right. However, a lot of Jews were getting asked to do a lot of emotional labor and being asked to speak for the entire body of Judaism.
Right.
Like, a lot of people were like, Amy, why do Jews do this? Why did Jews do X? Why did Jews believe that? And I was like, I can't speak for that Jew who pulled that trigger.
Sure.
I cannot. I don't know. I can speak for this Jew, Amy Guth, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And even then, my answer may change in an hour. Like,
sure.
I can't. And so, like, the thing I just want to, like, keep reminding people of, but even this, I don't necessarily feel safe tweeting because I just know it somehow it's not going to land right, or I'm going to look like a sympathizer, mm-hmm, is Judaism is so much bigger than just Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's make a big circle, and inside that circle, let's draw a smaller circle. That's, mm-hmm, Jews who are into Israel. And within that circle, there's a whole spectrum of shit.
Yeah.
From like, absolutely, I will never question, I totally, fully believe and love and da-da-da, all the way to, look, I think it's fucked up too, but here's where I live and I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, right.
Like, I know plenty of people that are like, the boycott of right, that's been going on for a number of years, it's like, yeah, but I'm the receptionist there and my job got cut,
mm-hmm,
because of that boycott. It's not my fault that I live here.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that too. Sure. Like, there is punishment to people. Like, that boycott is complicated.
Yeah.
And it's much more complicated. He's yawning.
Sorry.
He's
no,
bored
I,
of me.
No, okay. I'm not. No. I'm sorry. It was just a...
I'm not saying that boycott is right or wrong because I don't speak in absolutes. But I am saying that I do think one part we're not thinking of often is the boycott going to punish people who are already in solidarity with
right.
you?
Uh-huh.
Right. There are people like Trump doesn't speak for me, you know? So anyway, we make our big circle. Inside, we're going to draw another little circle. And that little circle is people who give any level of shit about Israel.
Right.
Jews who give any level of shit about Israel.
Yeah.
From totally on board to, look, I just live here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's fucked up too.
Yeah.
The way you and I talk about the United States.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, look, it's my country. I love it. But like, it's fucked up and terrible shit is happening.
Right.
We have not quite gotten to the point of what occurred this week,
mm-hmm,
here, but nonetheless, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dissent. And then within that mini circle, there's another circle of Netanyahu lovers. So the people that we're talking about who are like down with Netanyahu, it is very similar to the way we're like, here is all of Americans,
mm-hmm,
inside it. Here's Trump supporters. It's very much like
yeah,
that. Like
right,
Trump doesn't
yeah.
speak for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then there's this like super base. And
yeah,
I feel like I said that till I was just like blue in the face this week. And that was met with, and that's offline. And that was met with like, but it's too dangerous to say even that. Like you won't be trusted. You can't do it without bias, which is fair. Like
sure, yeah.
Right now, if I was working and if I was reporting on international politics, I would probably say, you know, take me off that story,
mm-hmm,
because if I can do it without bias, I'm still going to give the impression of bias.
Sure,
so take me off that story. I do have a horse in that race.
Yeah, right.
And I just but the thing that I just kept coming back to was like, I need Americans here especially. I need us to think very fucking hard about the way we are talking about the Middle East conflict. Mm-hmm. Because you really can, you can totally condemn the actions of a government without being an anti-Semite.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't think we did a good job of that. I'm saying we, because like I participate in social media.
Yeah.
And, right. and even though I didn't comment on it, I'm saying, I'm not, because I just don't believe in saying they. I'm not going to say they.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, it would be the same as somebody condemning our, what we were talking about with immigration.
I mean, the difference is that the United States is not supposed to be an ethno state.
Right. Yeah.
That is the difference.
Yeah, true.
Even though you and I both know it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the fact that I've always, when I've had vacation days, I take vacation days off.
Yeah.
For, I take vacation days, or now, unpaid days for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah when I get Christmas off whether I want it or not.
Yeah.
You know what
sure,
I mean?
Like, right.
So whether we want to acknowledge that the United States is a Christian ethno state, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it is. It is totally one. However, that's the difference, mm-hmm. right? Which I'm not saying an ethno state is a good idea or a bad idea. I'm not going there. I'm just saying in a moment when we have shit like Charlottesville happening, when we have, like, which is not new, that's gone on forever, mm-hmm. but it's in a bolder way and a lot of people are seeing it. In that moment, we need to be a lot more fucking responsible the way we talk about shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm, maybe this is the second hill I might die on. Much more likely I would die on this hill or like be killed on it. But you can talk about, you can completely condemn the actions of a government completely mm-hmm. without condemning human beings.
Sure. I totally agree with that. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, what you, because that seemed to me to be what was happening.
Absolutely was happening. And in ways that like if you said so, it was, no, I'm not. I'm not being an anti-Semite. You're just being a Zionist. Like, no, yeah. no. We're both saying this shit is abhorrent. And that's why I really opted out.
Yeah. No,
I've tweeted more puppies in the last week. Because I just, I'm like, I cannot right now. And that may be chicken shit, but I really just felt like it wasn't fair and I couldn't do it well and right and in that many characters for a tweet.
Yeah, well, and what, I mean, the thing that I thought, because, you know, because of the violence and the loss of life, which was obviously, should have trumped other things, but what, one of the things that got lost and one of the things about this that I found the most sort of like fascinating but also incredibly disturbing was that from the U.S. side with, well, really with Mike Pence, I mean, Trump doesn't give a rat's ass
about
anything.
Oh, Pence. Oh,
but
God,
I mean, this,
I'm so mad.
This whole thing with Jerusalem and it ties in with the evangelicals here.
Yeah.
In a end times kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really just so nutty. I'm like,
oh,
so,
Pence's statement was,
yeah.
Right? You really, you want to tell me this is not like a Christian nation?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sneakily? Bullshit.
It was obscene.
Pence's shit yesterday was like, again, not making me feel particularly welcome in the country where I was fucking born.
Right. Well, and also just bonkers. I mean,
also
like kind of Old Testament-y bonkers. Like, I mean,
don't go hating on the Old Testament.
But you know what I mean. But it was just like,
it's a little fire and brimstone.
Yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, because, you know, really. And also, and then, of course, there's this sort of like, I mean, it's so weird because the evangelicals, including the bigoted, anti-LGBT, awful pastors that they had there, these two evangelical pastors who are just the worst and had no business representing this country under any circumstances, but of course were there, like, is, you know, for the evangelicals, you know, they're hoping that here we go, Jesus is going to come back and it's the rapture, at which point if the Jews don't convert they all get sent to hell, which I wouldn't think the Jews would be too happy about. And then for the Jews, they want it, you know, I understand that motivation for the, you know, for their, to declare the capital and the significance of that. But I'm like, you're kind of talking about making a deal with the devil, kind of, because you're like, well, these guys want to do it, but they want to do it to get Jesus to come back sooner. And so fine, whatever, we'll go that route. It's all just really weird. I mean, that element of it, right? Besides the sort of, you know, like the geopolitical issues
to pull those two things apart.
Right, right. It's just the actual, like, on the U.S. side, the evangelical Christian rapture fetishizing aspect of it.
Rapture fetishizing is perfect.
Was just weird, like really fucking weird. And then that, in the eyes of the current administration, is far more important than any outbreak of violence that might ensue, which you knew it was going to, and it did. So, you know, I find... Okay, from the significance of Jerusalem staking, or of Israel staking claim to Jerusalem as its capital, etc., and the whole then the conflict between Israelis and the Palestinians, again, I can't, I struggle with that part of it, but I do feel like this administration made a decision to symbolically do something that they knew was going to incite chaos.
Totally.
And it did incite chaos, and it led to 60 people and counting dead. And that I find, especially when you have alleged people of God over there applauding it, I just have a hard time with that.
On that note, worth also mentioning that Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, we even followed this little good story.
No, although he's... Yeah, I know who he is.
He vocal opponent of LGBTQ
sure.
human beings.
He's
the he has been appointed to be lead the Office of International Religious Freedom.
Oh, for God's sake.
A section of the U.S. Department of State responsible for, quote, promoting religious freedom as a core objective of U.S. foreign policy. I have a question.
The guy literally destroyed Kansas. I mean,
well,
like,
and he's even Southern Poverty Law Center has, like, go search this guy and Southern Poverty Law Center together.
Yeah,
quite a bit of, like, there's an organization he's affiliated with now that Southern Poverty Law Center has absolutely described as a hate group.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so for like that is the kind of shit that's chilling to me. And that, thank you, that is why it is important to me that people who believe they're being helpful, when they like, I need you to talk about Jews the right fucking way.
Yeah.
Because a Yahoo's like that, like, I'm talking you on our side here, like you on
right.
over here, I need you to do this right because of people like that.
Yeah.
Who, if that fucking guy is going to be leading an initiative for religious freedom, my fucking ass, religious freedom. That guy is going to push, I'm sure, a very evangelical conservative
sure.
agenda. I'm
totally.
Sure.
That's all. Yeah.
That guy did not change overnight and go, you know what? I really would like to bring people together. Let's put one of those ridiculous coexist stickers on everything. No,
yeah.
That guy didn't flip-flop.
I embrace all religions.
No, of course he does yeah. not. He's going to push a very Christian agenda. And I'm not, like, every time I go here, I get a lot of shit about hating Christians. I don't hate Christianity.
No, that's not what it's
about. I really do
not.
I hate assholes.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm pro human beings here.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I hate assholes.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to be assholes to each other, because you know what? Shit is hard.
Yeah.
We're all doing our goddamn best. And it's not helpful when we have these assholes like doing the condemning swaths of people.
Yep.
Not useful.
Right.
So that is why I need people to talk about Jews and everybody else in the right and accurate way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of people like this guy who is going to do so much damage. And you know, it's not like neo-Nazis. That's not who I'm the most worried about. I'm worried about fringe people who are like kind of on the edge and maybe kind of like say shit like, I mean, I know some Jewish people, but like I wouldn't want to, you know, date one. Like that kind of.
One of those pastors at that ceremony in Jerusalem said that he basically applauded Hitler for hunting down Jews. So it's not even fringe. I mean, it's the crazies are in the building. I mean,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. And also said the Jewish people are going to hell.
Well,
like, I mean, you know.
Like, whatever, every fucking week that's happening, whatever.
Yeah, but
I'm saying, like, it's people that are on the fence. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like, that guy now having this, like, such a big mainstream platform.
Yeah.
And being given such a huge audience. Like, people who are a little on the fence, like, well, yeah, I mean, the guy has a point. I have always thought that one Jewish guy at work is weird. And like, shit, like,
yeah,
that Washington Post story about, like, why I'm not going to date Jewish guys.
Yeah,
like, that was
right.
a fucking anti-Semitic thing. And, like,
yeah, that was,
I have fought for a lot of women to say whatever the fuck they want on the internet.
Yeah.
But that was not cool.
Yeah. No,
that was really fucked up. You are, like, condemning a whole swath of people because, like, two dudes didn't want your whiny ass, really, is what was happening. I was so mad about that because that was so, it was so anti-Semitic, and people were just like, no, she just, like, had a bad experience, so that's not her type. That's fucked up. That's like saying, like, one person of this race looked at me funny on a bus stop, therefore all these people of this race are mean.
Yeah, let's see how people would have responded if it was an African-American woman writing about how she can't date white guys.
Or if it was a white girl saying why she can't date black men.
Right.
Like, any way, like, make either that about rape. Right.
Yeah,
like,
either of those, and it would have been from either side, it would have been like, oh my God.
That's always the thing. When you're talking about a group of people, first of all, don't lump a group of people in together. Yeah. It's fucking stupid. It makes you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
But when you're going to do so, if you must, switch that word for another group.
Sure.
And see if it makes you sound like a racist piece of shit or a sexist or whatever, and then maybe not do that thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good test. It's the same way, like, you can test language in a news story.
Right.
Take out, like, he pronouns and put in she pronouns, or you know, vice versa, and see if it sounds stupid. Like, did I ask that female CEO some stupid-ass questions? Would I have said this about a man? Would I have described a man's outfit sitting in his fancy office? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Fucking check yourself.
Yeah. God. Doesn't seem that hard. Unless you're talking about clowns. I think, like, if you...
What?
I dated two clowns and it just didn't work out. I think that's kind of okay.
Okay, weirdly, I have a neighbor who just randomly put one orange balloon on their railing to their front door.
Really?
But, like, did it at night, and I happened to be walking by, and it was just kind of a look like, I'm doing this, and just, like, went back in. No words were spoken. It was just like, I'm tying this single small balloon to my banister. Not, like, a bunch of them, just the one. And I was like,
that's creepy.
Pretty sure a clown's about to pop out of this shrubbery.
And not the nice.
Shrubbery.
Not the nice kind.
There are no.
The stabby kind.
The stabby kind. I feel like I just talked for like 40 minutes without taking a breath.
No, it was good. I wanted your opinion on that too, because it confuses me a lot, and that's my own ignorance. I mean, it confuses me because I have not spent the time to really, like, fully understand, you know, that. And I do try to steer clear of, I think it's wisely, steer clear of writing about things that I don't get fully.
If only more people on the internet
yeah,
did that,
right? Wouldn't that
practice
be nice?
That art.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I've read this for 5 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to write a hot take.
Yeah. And I like when I don't even get me started.
Okay, but other things we have not mentioned, even though we are running out of time, we've got to talk about Tomi Lahren, or however the hell you say her name.
Tomi.
Yeah. She made
some Whole Foods tweet.
Oh, I didn't even see the Whole Foods tweet.
Oh, really? Oh, God. Okay,
I was talking about the immigration part. What's the Whole Foods tweet? Oh, I do know. Yeah, about being in line and taking people's food. Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, I'm not even worried about that one right now.
Oh, God. There's something worse? Yeah.
Well, she was talking about... She went there, and so she was, like, taken to the mat on it. She mentioned her ancestors.
Oh, right, yeah.
And she was like, and so a journalist, Jennifer Mendelsohn, went and did some research, and turns out Lahren's ancestors came from Germany and Norway with few skills and spoke their native languages for decades. I'll be damned.
Yeah. And
so, again...
Tom-Toms got mad about that.
Tom-Toms. That's cute. She got real mad about that. And she fired back. She's like the mean genealogical targeting, or whatever, however she put it. But mean was the word she used.
Yeah.
Look, I operate assuming like plenty of people are mean. Like that's a default right now.
Oh God, yeah.
Mean is in the eye of the beholder. So like don't go there with mean.
Yeah.
Come back with facts. If you want to say, well, that's not correct, and here's why, come back with that. Don't come back with feelings. Like, your argument is always going to fall. Why am I teaching Tomi Lahren how to fight? But, like, your argument is always going to come apart if you come back with, but that's mean. Unless it's, like, an interpersonal relationship where you're saying, like, hey, that hurt my feelings. But, like, to the internet, hey, that hurts my feelings, you're mean, not going to be useful to you.
Tomi Lahren, I think in many ways, it encapsulates the current, like, Fox News white aggrievement industry.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because she's like 20-something. She's 26. She lives in L.A., liberal bastion of all places. And she just throws bullshit out that she knows is going to piss people off. I mean, she's kind of like, she's like young Ann Coulter.
I was
right
say,
now.
It's the same kind of M.O.
Ann Coulter has gone like just straight up racist awful. Like, Ann Coulter's shit throwing has become so extreme at this point. Like, she about the what they the Palestinians getting shot.
Oh, she said, we can do that now?
Yeah, she said, can we do that now? Yeah, meaning, like, down at our border. So it's like, I mean, you know, she's just on another plane of horribleness. Right. But Laren is just, you know, and then so she mouths off about something stupid with no logic to it or grounding in any form of reality. Then she goes on Fox News and talks about how all the mean liberals attacked her and blah, 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 and says a bunch of crap that doesn't mean anything. And then the people that only listen to Fox News just lap it up. And they're like, ooh, and, you know, half of the, you know, stupid men out there are like, oh, she's pretty. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to listen to her.
Pretty girls say nice things.
Yeah, wow. And it's like, come on. I mean, you know, I mean, she is just awful. Like, that's a soulless, miserable person. I can't imagine how people like that look in the mirror. Look at themselves in the mirror. I mean, I really can't.
Do you remember when she tweeted that picture of herself, like, in workout clothes, and she had a gun down the front of her pants? Oh, my God. The comments about, shooting yourself in the vulva made me laugh
Yeah, I forgot what I said. I did something with that.
She's kind of, like, blow her lady parts off.
I referred to it as, like, a something kind of vagina gun or something like that. But
Jesus.
She's just awful, though. And then, of course, you know, she goes on Fox News and, wow, these sexist, so-called, you know, progressives and their sexism and meh, 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 meh. I'm like,
what was she saying was sexist?
Just like it was sexist because people were saying, like, you know.
You had a gun pointing at your vagina.
Right, yeah, exactly. I was like,
it's not sexist. It's it's totally accurate. Yes. If you point a gun at your vagina and people say, hey, be careful, don't shoot yourself in the vagina.
Right,
that's just common sense. It's not sexism.
Oh, it was horrible.
I feel like that's going to be my tombstone. Don't shoot yourself in the vagina.
Yeah, that could well be.
I'm here to help people. I'm here to help.
Yeah, but she, in so many ways, she just epitomizes this moment of just rampant stupidity and ignorance and just noise. And somebody, who was that? Somebody referred to her as a white noise machine.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
Yeah, right? It's perfect.
That's super
exactly
perfect.
What she is. Anyway.
Good times.
Indeed.
We did not get around to talking about...
Oh, Scott.
We're out of time, though. But we did not get a chance to talk about North Korea.
Oh, that, too.
In the little... made you look.
God. I mean,
which...
Mr. Excellent Deal Von Dielman there, who made the greatest deal.
Dealey McDealerson.
Yes, right. Made the greatest deal ever, and now it's falling apart.
Like, right.
What?
Yeah, so that.
Yeah.
Also, we did not get too big a chance to talk about Scott Pruitt, who is another hill I'm going to die on because I cannot get enough of the stories about this extremely corrupt person in a seat of great power that will have environmental impact for years and years and years to come. What a hot mess this guy is.
It's amazing.
It's really, really, it's like, you know a couple things about oil, and I think that comes out of the ground. Here's a seat of power for you.
And then he's just so transparently corrupt. I mean, it's just story after story after story at this point of using taxpayer, you know, all this stuff.
And the security,
right,
the flights.
Did you hear the guy, I forget who it was, but a Democrat he was in front of testifying in front of a Senate Appropriations Committee or something today, who wanted to know about why the hell are you doing all this stuff? And this regarded him flying first class because he was like nervous that people were going to make fun of him or something like that. And I think it was Chuck Grassley said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Nobody knows who the hell you are. Which is true. I wouldn't know the guy. I mean, Scott Pruitt could walk by me and I'd have no... I mean, I've seen pictures of him a million times. I still wouldn't. I'd just be like, who's that white dude? I mean, it wouldn't even
register.
There's
a white guy with a lot of hairspray on.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. But yeah, let's put it this one
that's not the elf one.
We'll be... Right, yeah. We'll be able to talk about this next time, I'm sure, because there will be 15 more scandals involving him and he'll still, for some reason, have a job.
And he's had so many senior staffers resign.
Yeah.
There's so much happening, including, like, key people. Like, your Superfund guy is like, I'm a peace out. I'm a go.
I mean, we all focus on, and you kind of, it's hard to say you shouldn't do this, but we all focus on the big stuff, you know, the Mueller and Russia and what's going on with North Korea and this China nonsense that's happening with trade right now and blah, blah, blah. But really what's happening behind the scenes, like the way they're eroding HUD, eroding the EPA, what DeVos is doing to the to the education department, the number of lifetime judges that are being put in place that are going to impact women, people of color, LGBT people for years and years and years. I mean, what's happening is so insidious and so bad, and it really goes largely unexamined because there's so much other explosive stuff happening. It's bad.
In summation, it's bad.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I feel both like I just did a lot of punching exercises and like it's cathartic, but I also feel deflated at the same time. We should come up with a word for that.
Deflartic? Deflarted? Catheterized? Doesn't make sense.
Good try, buddy. Yeah. Good
anyway,
try.
I'm going to workshop that a little bit and get back to you next week.
Sounds good. All right, then. This has been Guthin' Up Yam Politics. Don't be a dick on Twitter. We'll see you next time.